You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Have you ever wondered why humans fall in love so quickly, love at first sight, and just as quickly fall out of love? Now, what drives us to obsess with the things we want, and then once we get what we want, we just get really bored? And why are some of us doomed to be a lifetime member of the holic club? Alcoholic, shopaholic, sexaholic, workaholic. Now, today on Wellness for Life Radio, we have Dr. Daniel Lieberman. He states that there's only one answer to these questions, and it comes down to one single brain chemical called dopamine. Dr. Lieberman is the co-author of the new best-selling book, The Molecule of More. He is also a professor and vice chair for clinical affairs in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at George Washington University. Welcome, Dr. Lieberman. So excited to have you here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, let's start chatting about, you know, this amazing, powerful molecule. Now, many of our listeners may have heard of the brain chemical dopamine because of how it's related to movement disorders such as Parkinson's disease, or they may have children who've had issues with attention or hyperactivity. But, you know, in your book, you reveal in your book, The Molecule of More, that there is so much more to this brain chemical, this molecule. So I'd like you to just start by telling us, what exactly is dopamine?
You know, I became interested in dopamine because it seemed to be playing so many different roles in the brain. And you mentioned Parkinson's, ADHD. We know it plays a role in addiction, in schizophrenia. And I kept asking myself, is there some underlying commonality that accounts for all these different illnesses and all the roles it plays in healthy behavior as well? I started researching it. I found the answer, and it was so fascinating. I felt that I had to write a book about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, thanks, first of all, for, you know, sending me that book. But I just love just even the intro. It got me hooked. Just from the intro, you talk about looking up and looking down, and about the different chemicals that govern that, you know? So let's go ahead and just go into some of the basic functions of it. Dopamine, as in, like, tell us a little bit about the brain chemical and how it's different between the here and the now chemicals, and then the one where it's about looking for more.
Well, you know, evolution has made our brains into a highly tuned survival machine. And much of what we do is reminiscent of that evolutionary development. Now, if we think about our evolutionary ancestors, the familiar saying, either you have it or you don't, could very easily become, either you have it or you're dead. From a survival point of view, there's a fundamental difference between resources that you have, resources such as food, shelter, reproductive partners, and those that you don't. And so the brain developed separate pathways to deal with things that we have and pathways to deal with things that we need. Now, if we think about what do with things that we have, well, we appreciate them, we enjoy them, we consume them. And those kinds of behaviors are orchestrated by what I call in the book the here and now brain chemicals. And people may be familiar with some of these. They include oxytocin, which allows us to experience emotions of warmth and bonding with other people. It includes endorphins and endocannabinoids, which make us experience delight and pleasure and satisfaction. But there's another chemical, and that's the chemical for things that we don't have, and that is dopamine. And dopamine is responsible for things like desire, motivation, planning, imagining. So let me give you an example, if I could. Let's say that you have a peach. If you have it in your hand, you're going to experience it with your senses. You're going to smell it. You're going to touch it. Eventually, you're going to taste it. Well, now let's assume that that peach is in a bin at the corner market. You're not going to be able to perceive it with your senses. You're going to use your imagination. You may experience desire for it, and you're also going to have to use planning. All of these things are orchestrated by dopamine. This is the brain chemical that helps us get what we don't have.
Yes, so well said there. You know, I work with a lot of patients on their genetic pathways, and one of the gene that we look at is the COMT. COMT, mm-hmm. as you already know, of course, has to do with the production of dopamine, your ability to, it's one of those variants that helps us produce it. And if you have one of the variants or a double SNP, then you don't produce it as much. Or I should say, it blocks the breakdown. Can you give us a little information about that? And the reason is because a lot of our listeners are very interested in the genetics, meaning, you know what, if my parents had this, will I be that way too?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So there are a number of different genes that can make somebody more or less dopaminergic. And when I say dopaminergic, I mean having a personality that is more or less dominated by a dopamine approach to life. And COMT is one of those. Other ones include dopamine receptors. These are molecules that sit on the outside of brain cells and react when dopamine is released. And we also have the dopamine reuptake pump. This is a structure that clears dopamine from the brain, from the synapse where it has activity, to stop its activity. So depending on which genes you have, you can be more or less of a dopaminergic personality. And that can take a number of different manifestations. So, for example, some people who are very dopaminergic are pleasure-seeking hedonists. They're always looking for more pleasure. These are people who are at risk of becoming the holics, as you said, the alcoholics, the shopaholics. Sometimes people can get addicted to pornography and sometimes to gambling. That's not the only kind of dopaminergic personality, though. You can also get people with the people who are addicted, they're looking to more in the short term. But you can also have people who are looking to more in the longer term. And they're not looking so much to the pleasures that might come along with sex or drugs or shopping. They're looking for more abstract things like money or honor or promotions. And these are the workaholics. These are the people who have a great deal of difficulty coming into the present moment to enjoy all the hard things they've worked for. They constantly need more money, more promotions, more accomplishments. And let me give you one more example of how a dopaminergic personality can manifest itself based on various genes. And that is with the artistic temperament. These people are not so interested in pleasure or money. They're interested in creating things that have never existed before. And once again, we can see in these people a neglect of the here and now. Oftentimes, their room is a mess. Sometimes they pay so little attention to the real world that they don't comb their hair. They walk out with two different color socks on because they're so focused on this abstract imaginary world of what is possible rather than what's real.
I love all what you're saying. You know, I personally think of, let's say, entrepreneurs. You know, entrepreneurs, yes. I think they actually have a great deal more dopamine than an average person because they clearly have their own characteristics of themselves. And it sounds to me that there's really a sweet spot that if we want the best of both worlds, isn't that right?
Where yes, to
be
that's
in the here
right.
And now and have enough so that you're motivated to pursue life and have this epic adventure, right?
Yes, that's right. You know, our society tends to reward highly dopaminergic people. We reward them with money. We reward them with admiration because they've accomplished all these wonderful things. But if you're all dopamine all the time, you're going to go through life in a constantly dissatisfied state. As you say, what we really need to aim for is balance, and that can be pretty challenging.
Right, right. So let's talk about that, you know, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about how you found in these patterns. So Earlier when I mentioned about falling in love and falling out of love, this happens all the time. I mean, you know, we talk about it, friends, family, and our divorce rate is so much higher than we ever expected. So can you talk a little bit about how that impacts our love life?
I think that's a great way to compare the dopamine to the here and now chemicals. So when you fall in love, and sometimes that's referred to as passionate love, that is a dopamine phenomenon. You just want more and more of your beloved. You want to spend more time with them. You want to bind them closely to you. And your life is filled with these rosy fantasies about an amazing, perfect future. Now, passionate love doesn't go on forever, as you mentioned. It only lasts between 12 and 18 months. And if you want the relationship to continue, you have to shift over away from dopamine toward the here and now chemicals, particularly oxytocin, and we call that companionate love. There's no longer that crazy passion of this person is perfect, my life is going to be perfect, I want to spend every moment with them. But companionate love is still a very, very wonderful thing because there can be deep levels of fulfillment and satisfaction of entwining your life with someone else who understands you on a very, very profound level. But a lot of people are unaware of the need to make this switch. And when passionate love comes to an end, they think that they're no longer in love and that the relationship also needs to come to an end. Or they're so infatuated with those dopaminergic thrills that they're no longer interested in the relationship. Now, if we look at groups of people who we know are very dopaminergic, let's take Hollywood celebrities, for example. They have an enormous amount of difficulty making this transition. Overall, the divorce rate among celebrities is double the general population. And during the first year of marriage, when they need to make that transition from passionate love to companionate love, the divorce rate is six times as high.
Wow, wow. That's actually very enlightening when you think about, I didn't know it was 12 to 18 months, first of all, regarding that passionate love at first sight feeling. It's so, intoxicating, the dopamine, that you kind of like forget about everything. But the fact that, yes,
you know,
go ahead.
I just want to mention, I heard a wonderful description of this. Somebody who had been married for many, many decades said, when my wife and I first met, we were very much in love. Now we love each other very much. And I think in some ways that captures the transition from the passionate to the companionate stages of love.
I'm totally with you. I've been married for 24 years. So that's what ends up happening. But you know what? We still go out on dates, you know, and we do things together so that we can continuously, in a sense, I don't want to say fall in love, but it's really about nourishing our love, nourishing and bringing intimacy together in that manner so that it continues to build on that.
Yes. You know, even in a companionate love relationship, you can inject dopamine into it. Let's say that you are going to go out on a date and you want to think about, well, where should we go for dinner? Well, you might go to your favorite restaurant and just really enjoy the familiarity of it. That would be a here and now experience. Or you might say, let's go somewhere we've never gone before and experience something new. That would be a dopaminergic phenomenon. If you're looking for an exciting night later on, you might want to go for the dopamine and do something new. Step outside your comfort zone, because once you get the dopamine active in your brain, it's going to feel a little bit like the way things were when you first met.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also, you mentioned doing something new. I think that's part of the reason why couples have a tendency to transgress and one partner cheats because they want something new. Could that be true?
Yes, that's right. You know, our society really celebrates the dopaminergic pleasures and tends to downplay the here and now fulfillment and satisfaction. And so, you know, when people aren't experiencing this crazy love with their partner, they may be tempted. They may experience dissatisfaction and they say, okay, I want that feeling of passion again, or I want something new. The thing about pursuing dopamine, though, is that it makes promises it can't keep. And let me give you a more simple example. You are in a store and you see an unbelievable shirt and you say, oh my God, I want this shirt so badly. If I had this shirt, I would be so happy. You buy the shirt, but then it moves from a future possibility to a present reality. It moves from being something that you are hoping for to something that you have. Once that happens, it's no longer in the realm of dopamine circuits in the brain, and so dopamine shuts down. So dopamine has made a promise it can't keep. It's told you, if you buy this shirt, you will be happy. But it just doesn't work that way. And it's the same with these affairs. People will meet somebody, perhaps at work, and they will get all excited. And they think, if I can have sex with this person, I'm going to be so happy and so satisfied. And they often find out that that's not true, because stimulating dopamine doesn't necessarily lead to the neurotransmitters that cause satisfaction and fulfillment.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about mental illness. You mentioned earlier about schizophrenia. Can we talk a little bit about how, what's going on there? Why is it that dopamine can even go into that realm?
Yes. So schizophrenia is an illness of too much dopamine in a particular part of the brain. It's a part of the brain that is used to scan the environment for things that are important to you. So, for example, if you're walking down the street, and it's a street you've walked down dozens and dozens of times before, nothing is new, nothing is particularly relevant to your future well-being, so your dopamine system is going to be at rest. If all of a sudden you run into an old friend, bang, dopamine goes off because all of a sudden something relevant to you has happened, something that's relevant to your future happiness. Now, if that circuit goes off erroneously, let's say randomly, when really nothing is happening, you may begin to experience paranoia and delusions. For example, let's say that you're watching the news and the newscaster is talking about some spying that's going on by the CIA, and all of a sudden that dopamine circuit in your brain goes off. You're going to have the feeling that something really important to your future has just happened, and you may develop the delusion that the CIA is spying on you. And that's the basis of paranoid delusions in schizophrenia. It's an example of too much dopamine at the wrong time.
Okay. You know, there's a lot of drugs out there being used to help people feel better. As a psychiatrist, you know what I'm talking about, different types of SSRIs, Wellbutrin has to do with dopamine. So it could be that sometimes using some of these drugs can actually push them into more mental illness. Could it not?
You know, those drugs generally they're very unlikely to cause that kind of thing. It's really more the drugs of abuse, such as cocaine and methamphetamine, that are going to provide such an incredibly strong boost of dopamine that they can lead to psychosis, delusions. The SSRIs are more likely to suppress dopamine. And so sometimes when people take an SSRI, they will experience emotional blunting. I once had a patient who was very, very anxious, and everything just seemed overwhelming to him. So I prescribed an SSRI, and it worked very, very well. He became calm. He was able to take things in stride. And he said, you know what, let's try a little bit more. I really enjoy the way this makes me feel. I gave him more, and all of a sudden, everything became so completely okay, he couldn't find a reason to get out of bed in the morning. So in that situation, we had suppressed his dopamine too much. We'd taken away his ambition and his drive. So we backed down to that previous dose, and we achieved a nice level of balance.
Great. You know, every year, millions of people go on diets, and of course, majority of them, the science shows is that they fail to reach their goals. Or if they did, then they go off of it. So dopamine is related to that disappointment, is it not?
Yes, it is. Dopamine is responsible for the experience of craving. And we all know what that feels like. It is such an unpleasant experience and is so hard to resist, whether it's for a piece of cake or for another 30 minutes of sleep when you would plan to wake up early and exercise. Craving is very hard to deal with. And so, you know, what a lot of people do is that they assume, well, the answer is willpower. And that is so not true. Willpower is a faculty of the brain that becomes fatigued very easily. You know, there's this wonderful classic experiment that you might be familiar with, in which they took some research volunteers and they put them in a room full of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. And they told them they couldn't eat any of the cookies. After a little while, they gave them a puzzle to solve, and they timed how long they worked at the puzzle. After using willpower to resist the chocolate chip cookies, they had no willpower left, and they gave up on the puzzle very, very quickly. So willpower may help you resist the donut in the morning, but then the piece of cake in the afternoon, you're going to eat it because you've already lost all your willpower. So, you know, we have a saying, it's better to be smart than strong. Rather than trying to resist cravings, you need to think ahead and you need to make plans that will minimize the likelihood that you're going to be facing those cravings.
Yeah, cravings are really difficult, not just about food too, but for, you know, other things. And that's that whole impulsivity action that dopamine triggers. The impulsivity, where a lot of people, and especially nowadays, with the computers and the cell phones, and our young people are so much more impulsive.
You know, these Silicon Valley companies are hiring people who have very sophisticated understandings of how the brain work, and they are doing everything they can to make these things as addictive as possible. And it's a terrible thing. You know, when they first came out, they seemed wonderful, all these terrific free services. But the thing to remember is, if something is free, you're the product, and they're not thinking about what's in your best interest.
I love that. That's a great time to ask you, where can we find more about your book? Is there a website?
Yes, it's moleculeofmore.com. People can learn all about it. We talk about the role of dopamine in love, drugs, creativity, mental illness, even politics. How dopaminergic you are is going to have an influence on whether you're a conservative or a liberal. There's all kinds of fascinating stuff in there.
Great book, Doc. Great book, Dr. Liebman. Thanks so much. Oh, God. Great information. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. And if you learned something new that will help you reach your ultimate wellness, please share this show with your friends and family and go to iTunes and give us some of your feedback. The support is greatly appreciated. And then if you want to connect with me, definitely go to Instagram, Facebook. And if you need any guidance and want to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, I work with you. I can work with you all around the world. Phone, Skype consultations, and go to the website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy and enthusiasm and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.